Well, church, whose voice are you listening to in your life? Who are you receiving direction from? Who is giving you guidance for how to live? Who is shaping your view of reality? Who is casting for you a vision of the good life? All said another way, who are you allowing to shepherd you? This morning in our Old Testament scripture readings, we heard two very different accounts of what it is like to be sheep under two very different kinds of shepherds. And while the choice of which of these shepherds we should want to place ourselves under is very clear, the choice of which shepherds we actually place ourselves under is often much more complicated. So how do we make the right choice? So what we're going to be talking about this morning as we look at these three passages of Scripture that all deal with shepherding. And so if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, Psalm chapter 23, and John chapter 10, as we consider the clear case that is before us, the conflicted choice that is within us, and how in the end we can be confident that we've made the correct choice in Christ. Okay? First, we're going to consider the clear case that is before us. And when we look at these two Old Testament passages from Ezekiel 34 and Psalm 23 this morning, and consider who we want to be our shepherd, there really is no comparison. Okay? In Ezekiel chapter 34, what we have is a passage of warning against the shepherds of Israel. It's a prophecy from God given through Ezekiel, warning the leaders of Israel about their mistreatment of God's people. And while this message isn't technically for us, as we aren't the leaders of Israel, and it isn't technically about the sheep under their care, as it's about the leaders' mistreatment of the sheep, still, in this passage, we get a glimpse of what it is like to be a sheep under the care of those various political and religious leaders of the nation. In Psalm 23, on the other hand, what we have is a prayer of praise in the form of a testimony of what it is like to be a sheep under the shepherding care of the Lord. And when you compare these two passages together, and when you compare the two different experiences of the sheep within these passages with one another, the differences are stark and glaring. In Ezekiel, we see that the sheep under the care of the shepherds of Israel are left without any provision. In verse 2 and verse 3, we read that the shepherds of Israel feed and clothe themselves, but do not feed the sheep. The sheep lack the sustenance that they need. In Psalm 23, by comparison, what we see is that when the Lord is the shepherd, the sheep have no want. There is no lack when the Lord is on watch. All needs are provided for, and His provision is perfect. In Ezekiel, we see that the sheep under the care of the shepherds of Israel are not tended to and are not cared for. In verse 4, we read that the weak sheep are not strengthened, the sick ones are not healed, the injured are not bound up, the strays are not brought back, and the lost are not sought and found. Their well-being is neglected. In Psalm 23, as a contrast, we see that when the Lord is the shepherd, the sheep are given rest in green pastures, refreshed by calm waters, restored in their innermost being, always directed down the right path. Sheep under the Lord's care are attentively tended to and well cared for. In Ezekiel, we see in the end of verse 4 that the sheep under the care of the shepherds of Israel are being ruled over with force and with harshness. In Psalm 23, we see that the sheep under the care of the Lord are being shepherded with patience and kindness all throughout. In Ezekiel, we see that the sheep under the shepherds of Israel are facing danger and harm due to the neglect of their shepherds. In verse 5, they are scattered and become food for the wild beasts. In verse 6, they were let loose to wander to the point that they eventually got lost. But in Psalm 23, we see that the sheep under the shepherding care of the Lord are being guided through danger and are being protected from harm. Finally, at the end of our passage from Ezekiel in verse 8, the sheep under the shepherds of Israel eventually become prey with no one to watch over them or to rescue them. In the end of Psalm 23, the sheep under the care of the Lord offer praise for the feast that their shepherd leads them to. And so what we see when we compare these passages is that from start to finish, the differences in the experience of the sheep who are under the care of the shepherds of Israel and the sheep who have the Lord as their shepherd could not be any more different. One shepherd is careful, the others are careless. One is self-sacrificing, the others are self-serving. One is primarily concerned about the sheep, the others are primarily concerned about themselves as the shepherds. In one, the sheep are abused, and in the other, the sheep are adored. In one, they are neglected, in the other, they are nurtured. In one, they are looked over, and in the other, they are overlooked. In these two shepherding passages, the accounts of both the sheep and the shepherds are basically the exact opposite. One is very, very good, and one is very, very bad. And in light of those two comparisons, let me ask you perhaps the most obvious question that could possibly be asked. Which one of these would you like as your shepherd? Is there any real question? When we look at these options from our passages this morning and consider who we would want to be our shepherd, there really is no comparison. The case for having the Lord as our shepherd is crystal clear. And yet, the choice that we regularly make in life is often much more conflicted than that, isn't it? It's been that way since the very beginning. Adam and Eve had only ever known the Lord as their shepherd. And yet they chose to listen to the voice of Satan, disguised as a serpent, and followed his instructions instead of the Lord's. The people of Israel were miraculously rescued out of their brutal slavery under the shepherding of Pharaoh, and were being led towards a good and promised land under the care of their Lord. And yet they repeatedly tried to turn back and return to Egypt, to place themselves under the brutal Pharaoh once again. Once in the promised land, having witnessed God as their shepherd drive out all of the nations that were in front of them, the people of Israel then decided that they wanted to be like the nations which they had just defeated. And they rejected God as their shepherd and asked for a king, like the other nations had, to be shepherd over them. Throughout the Gospels, we repeatedly see the religious leaders of Israel rejecting the merciful shepherding of Jesus as he healed wounded sheep on the Sabbath in favor of allowing the cold and merciless laws that they had constructed to be the shepherd which were guiding them. Throughout history, in the face of a clear right answer, God's people have repeatedly made the wrong decisions about who they want to be their shepherd. And despite all of that history and all of these examples and the clear case that is before us, we continue to make the same conflicted choices today as to who we want to shepherd us, don't we? We let political leaders on the left and the right shape our values, and warn us of who we should be weary of. We let the intellectual and the academic elite tell us what is true about this world and how it works, and what is not. We let economists and financiers tell us what to do with our money and where to invest our treasure in order to be secure in this life. We let biblical scholars and eloquent pastors reinterpret the scriptures and tell us what they really mean. We let popular authors and cultural icons reshape our understanding of morality. What is actually right and wrong? What is truly good and evil? The list could go on and on and on. Just as was the case in ancient Israel, so is the case today. There are all kinds of cultural and economic and political and religious influences seeking to capture the affections of our hearts and to guide and direct the course of our lives. They're the shepherds of Western culture, we could call them. And their influence over our lives is every bit as destructive as the shepherds of Israel's were over the flock that they led. And just as God's people of old struggled to choose to follow the Lord as their shepherd, so often do God's people today. It's always been a problem. It's why in the scriptures, from beginning to end, we see warning after warning cautioning us to be on guard against such things. In Genesis chapter 4, we're warned against the evil of sin, which is crouching at our door with a desire to rule over us. Sin wants to shepherd you. In Deuteronomy, the giving of the law, God warns his people about false prophets and their messages. Men and women that will speak words for God, but that are not from God. False teachers want to shepherd over your life. In the beginning of Proverbs, we hear the wise father warn his child against the seductions of the world that look good and sound good, but in the end lead to destruction. The enticements of the world want to shepherd over your life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his hearers to be on guard against wolves in sheep's clothing, deceptive leaders from within the church who will want to shepherd over you. The list goes on and on and on. The church in Rome is warned to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrines they had been taught, who by their smooth talk and flattery deceive the hearts of the naive. Paul warns Timothy to be on the lookout for those who teach a different doctrine that does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus and that the teaching that accords with godliness. Peter warns the church against false teachers who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. This is nothing new. It's been around forever. And yet, left to ourselves, we are a people who often don't endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, we accumulate for ourselves teachers to suit our own passions. And we turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We leave behind the Lord as our shepherd, and we choose other shepherds to listen to, and we let them guide our lives to our ultimate detriment. Why do we do this? With a choice that is so clear, and with one shepherd who is so much better than all of the other shepherds that are out there, why do we continue to make this very clear choice so confusing and so conflicted? Ultimately, I think it all roots back to that first poor shepherding decision that was made. When in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve believed the lie of the devil, that God didn't really have their best interests at heart, and that he was withholding good from them. That lie, and the mistrust that it placed in the heart of our first parents, has been with us ever since. And as a result, we are quick to question and to doubt and to abandon the Lord whenever we face a situation that we don't understand or are led down a path that is difficult to walk or encounter an occasion where we can't discern His presence with us. We look for other shepherds in those moments. And this tendency, this inclination, this destructive habit has been with us ever since that first choice. I heard a saying this week that emphasized this reality. In reflecting back on Israel's struggle to let the Lord be their shepherd, one author wrote that it took one day for the Lord to get the people of Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people of Israel. They were always looking back, always wanting to return, always thinking that they had it better under Pharaoh as their shepherd. And we do the same thing. In fact, I think we can broaden that idea from beyond just the people of Israel to include all the people of the earth. And the reality that it took one moment for the Lord to take Adam and Eve out of the garden, but it will take all of human history to fully take the consequences of the garden out of human beings. So what can we do? If we can plainly see the clear case for choosing to put ourselves under the care of the Lord, but are constantly conflicted in that choice and choosing to follow other shepherds instead, what can be done for us? How can we change? Or better put, how can we be changed in order to make the correct choice in choosing to follow after Christ? This is where our passage from John chapter 10 comes into play. Because John chapter 10 is all about how Jesus is the good shepherd. And when it was read earlier, did you catch why it was that Jesus makes that claim? Look with me at John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And throughout the rest of the passage, Jesus differentiates himself from every other shepherd that has ever existed in his ability and in his willingness to lay down his life for the sheep. And church, this is the good news of the gospel. That Jesus, our good shepherd, has laid down his life for us. That when a dangerous beast came to harm us vulnerable sheep, Jesus intervened and gave his life in order to save ours. He gave everything so that we should not want for anything. He wrestled upon a cross so that we can rest in green pastures. He drank the cup of God's wrath so that we could be led beside the living waters. He gave up his soul to death so that our souls could be restored. He endured the path of evil for our name's sake, so that we might walk the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He died and rose again, so that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fearing evil, because he is with us to guide us and to protect us. He gave his body and blood at the hands of his enemy in order to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemy. His head was anointed with thorns so that ours may be anointed with oil. His cup ran dry so that ours might overflow. He experienced evil and death that ended his life so that goodness and mercy might follow us all the days of our lives. He dwelt in the grave for 3 days so that we might dwell in the house of our Lord forever. This is our good shepherd. All the other shepherds want something from you. But this shepherd wants something for you. They want you to give yourselves to them, but Jesus gave himself to you. This is the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ, God has given himself to you. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And when we get that, when we really understand it, and we really begin to believe it, that message changes us. It gets down into our heart. It transforms our minds. And it begins to make us new in our innermost being, to the point where we begin to lose our appetite for any and every other shepherd. And the only one we ever want to give ourselves to is the one to whom who gave himself for us. And the more that we reflect upon that, and the more that we marvel at it, and the more that we offer our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving to Jesus for it, every day, all throughout our days, the more that we will do that, the more we'll choose to follow him. And we'll know that we've made the right choice of who to follow in our lives when we're giving ourselves to the one who's given himself to us. Church, Jesus is our good shepherd because he's laid down his life for the sheep. He's laid down his life for you. Will you follow him today? I pray that we will. For God's glory and for our good. Amen.